Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
My message this morning is called Right Place and Right Time. You see, it's very easy in life to know your plan and to know the direction you want to go and know what you want to accomplish. But sometimes we might try to step into those places or take hold of those promises before it is actually the time for us to take hold of it. And can I tell you, being in the right place at the wrong time is going to be just as detrimental to its effectiveness than if we were to be in the completely wrong place at the wrong time. Does that make sense? That's confusing. Let's go into it a bit more. You see, when I was a young six-year-old boy, if I was hunting around the house to find my dad, there was a number of places which I could almost guarantee I'll find him. If it's early in the morning, the king is on the throne. You see, he will go to the bookshelf. He would take a volume from the Encyclopedia Britannica for kids playing along at home. That's like Google, but made out of paper. So he would take an Encyclopedia Britannica and he'd go and he'd ascend upon his throne of Royal Dalton, and he'd be in there for quite some time till mid-morning. Now this throne, I guarantee you there was nothing regal happening upon that throne, and it is a throne that no one was interested in overthrowing, particularly after he had finished. So early in the morning, Dad could be found in the bathroom. Mid-morning, you'd find him in the kitchen. He'd be slathering a piece of toast with anchovette, which only he was allowed to use. And then he'd sit down to a newspaper. That's where Dad could be found mid-morning. In the afternoon, you'd probably hear the lawnmower going, and he'd be in the backyard doing laps, cutting the grass, mowing it all down nice. But when it came to Sunday afternoon, you knew that the recliner was folded back, the footy was on TV, and Dad would have a cold can of chewies in his hand. I knew that I could find Dad there. So I would go and I'd sit with him, and we'd watch Craig Young and Mick O'Connor and Brian, Ricky Walford, all emblazoned with the glorious red V on their jersey, running around with the mighty Dragons. But it was in this place, sitting with my dad, cheering on the heroes on the TV, that I developed a love for rugby league, and it would come to pass that I'd sign up to play junior rugby league for St. Joey's, which was a fantastic team. Now, I missed the first year of rugby league because my mum inadvertently signed me up to an inferior round ball sport where you could only use your feet. But a year later, I found myself signing up to play rugby league. And at my first training session, I was a little inexperienced, but a lot of what I knew about rugby league I'd seen on TV Sunday afternoon sitting with my dad. And there was a post-training scrimmage where we were playing a little mock game of rugby league, and my teammate got tackled. And as he stood up, as they do on the TV, I ran behind him, ready to receive the ball as he played it back with his foot. Now, what I didn't realise out of my inexperience was in junior rugby league, the position of dummy half, where I'd now found myself, was usually allocated to a singular player. And only that player would go into that position and take that ball. And that player was not me. I was not called to that position. I was not appointed to be in that position at that time. Mitch was. And little did I know, Mitch had taken offense to me crouching down behind my teammate to receive the ball, and he decided he was going to lodge his complaint in the form of a football boot into my backside. I did not know you could get winded being kicked in the backside, but I got winded. So the position I had found myself in was the right position. It was a position that you take on the field, but it was not a position I was called to, and it was not the time for me to be standing in that position. I was in the right place, but I was there the wrong time, and I had a throbbing reminder of that all evening. I paid the price. But you see, in our worlds, we find ourselves navigating this continually. And today I want to look at how we avoid the boot of disappointment and that feeling of failure and ensure that we find ourselves in the right place at the right time by understanding the importance of God's timing. By understanding the ebbs and flows of seasons, we can take hold of God's way of doing it and position ourselves to be successful and fulfilling everything that God has in store for our lives. Sound exciting? It's not that exciting. Because sometimes the very first thing that is expected of us in God's timing is not very nice at all. In fact, when we find ourselves inquiring about God's timing, there is a high possibility that he is going to meet you with a four-letter word that nobody really likes to hear. Wait. You know, we live in a world where things seem to be instant. You can have a hamburger, chips, and a cold drink put in your hand in 3 minutes. You can watch your favorite TV show right now. You don't have to wait till Friday night when Dad's finished watching the news. You can watch it right now. You can take a photo with your iPhone and see the result of that photo straight away. And then take another one and another one and another one because Adam keeps pulling a strange face. It's the only face I got. It's different. Once upon a time when you wanted to see a photo you had taken, you had to wind your camera and you had to open the back, you had to pull out the film, you had to put it in a canister, you had to go to the pharmacy, you had to put it in an envelope, you had to pay extra so you could collect them the next day, you go back in the next day, you get your envelope, you open it up, you pull out 14 blurry photos, 6 photos where your finger's over the lens and 4 of them with red eyes, but there are 3 fantastic photos. So we've positioned ourselves in this world of the instantaneous, and when it comes to our prayer life, that can put us in a dangerous position. When we don't get that immediate result for our prayer, all of a sudden we panic thinking that our God has abandoned us. When we don't see the answer to the prayer, we think, has God forgotten about me? We think, has God heard my prayer? Why is God so distant? But it's possible he's just asking us to wait. I saw a quote recently that said, God answers his prayers in one of 3 ways. Yes, not yet, and I've got something better in mind. You see, God doesn't hold out on what we request because he is some nasty kid playing a game on us, deliberately holding our desires just out of our reach. He's not doing it to torment us or to mess with us because our God is a loving Father. And it says in Matthew 7 verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? That's his nature. His heart is to give you good things. His heart is to meet the request of his children with abundance and blessings. But what if God sees the best thing for our situation is perhaps a lesson in perseverance? What if the best thing God sees in that situation is that our character can be strengthened through learning patience? Maybe he's shaping us into someone who can help others navigate hardship because we learned godly principles when we navigated hardship. There is something God is trying to show us in the wait, and allowing him to show us that takes trust, placing trust in God. Listen to what James says. James, I reckon, is that kid that when the school bell rings, puts his hand up to remind the teacher that she forgot to give us homework. He always comes with these power-punching verses that makes you go, oh, really, James? Listen to this one. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But listen to this. But let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. So the times when we navigate the wait and we call upon patience, there is something about that patience that refines who we are and brings perfection to our world and creates us into a human being that lacks nothing. How incredible is that? And that all comes from the wait. Do you know they believe David waited 15 years from the time he was appointed king to when he eventually took the throne? 15 years. He had received a promise from God, but only stepped into that promise 15 years later. In that 15 years, he spent those years playing cat and mouse with King Saul, who was pursuing him, intent on killing him. He saw his best friend Jonathan fall to the sword. He saw the Philistines, the enemy of God's people, running rampant and taking rule. And he was told to wait. But you see, the same trust that saw David step out in front of a giant was the same trust that carried him through this wait. And in time, in God's time, he was able to take the throne and become the king of Israel. It takes time. So what is standing before you today? And can you trust God when he asks you to wait? You've received the promise. And you know God is a God that upholds his promises. So do we have the patience? Do we have the trust to know that God's timing is the right timing? So the first of those is wait patiently. That's the first thing we can do. The next is be productive and prepare. You see, the important thing for us to realize is that between the prayer and the provision, there are things we can be actively doing in preparation for when the promise comes to pass. What are we doing between the ask and the answer? You see, while David was waiting to be a giant slayer, he was slinging stones at lions. While David was waiting to rule, he learned how to serve his family. While he readied himself to lead people, he spent time discovering what it meant to follow God. If you are waiting for a wife or a spouse in this house, perhaps you could use that time to prepare yourself to be the best husband. Is your budgeting in order? Do you know what the Bible says is a godly husband? Maybe you could learn how to cook a nice meal, take a course in Swedish massage. I tell you now, these are investments that are going to return dividends when you step into marriage. You can use this waiting time to be productive and take time preparing. Do you want an opportunity to lead ministry or a department in the church? Then find a department to serve in until that opportunity arises. Maybe you want to lead a church yourself one day. Go and join the kids team. If you can lead a group of small people intent on sticking crayons up their nose into the things of God, if you can lead them to the path, you can lead anybody. You need to go tap Hannah on the shoulder after the service and say, sign me up. You see, a farmer doesn't sow his seed and then go home and put his feet up until the harvest comes in. There are things to do. There are things to prepare for. There is something productive he can do. He's going to make sure his combine harvester is serviced and ready to go. He's going to ensure his irrigation is functioning to its full efficiency. He's going to put fertilizers, nutrients, pest control, whatever it takes to ensure a maximum yield. He does not sit at home. He goes and knocks on the backpacker hostels and locks in a few backpackers to help come and pick. He's doing things in preparation for the promise. Proverbs 24:30-34 says this: I passed by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. There is something about being prepared and being productive, even in those times of wait. Even in that time span between ask and answer, there is something we can be doing in preparation. We all know the story of the parable of the talents, where there was a master, a great businessman, calls three of his employees and he says, look, I'm going away. I'm going to the Bahamas. I'm going to work on my tan lines. But while I'm gone, I want you guys taking care of business. And he gives five talents of wealth to one man, two to another, and one to the third. Now, the man that had five, he went into online investment, Bitcoin, whatever it takes. He worked hard at investing those funds. And at the end of the time of his master being away, he had doubled what he had been given. The next man who had been given two decided he was going to start up an online sales place where you could buy sunglasses for dogs, very popular. And he's doing really well. He's got an Instagram account up there, so he gets his information out there. And the man doubles what the master had invested. And the third knew that his master was a hard man, reaping where he had not sown, taking what did not belong to his. And he was fearful of the result of a potential failed investment. So instead he dug a hole and he buried what that master had given him. And when the master comes home, he approaches the first man and says, "What did you do with those five talents I gave you?" And he goes, "Look, with those five you gave me, I earned another five. Look at this, 100% increase." And the master was like, "Amazing, incredible Christmas bonus coming your way." The second guy, the same deal. "You gave me two. Here is another two. I'm so impressed with that. I'm giving you a window office. Good job. Come and see me in my office. We'll get your stuff moved upstairs." The third one goes, "I was petrified. I buried your investment. Here is exactly what you gave me." And it says the master was furious. He took what that man had and gave it to the man who had now had 10. And he cast the man out in the streets where there was clawing and gnashing of teeth. Look, not a lot of gnashing of teeth these days, but he was cast out from the favor of the master in that situation. And the very same goes for us. You see, the time between the wrong time and the right time is still an asset in our hands. What are we doing with it? Are we still being fruitful for God's kingdom with what he's given us, even if it feels before the promise has been answered? If we can wisely show that we steward what we have, God always promises more. And there are people here today that have skills and talents and knowledge and time, and they've been chewing over the idea of maybe putting their hand up and choosing somewhere to serve and sow their energies. But can I tell you, if you chew too long, that idea will turn to mush. You need to act. You need to step out. You might be waiting for God to reveal what he has for you by letting a golden scroll float down from the heavens and land in your lap. And until that happens, you're going to say no to the Connect group, no to serving in cafe, no to being on the creative team. But can I encourage you, while you're waiting for the answer, get productive and be in preparation for when that answer comes. Can I encourage you today, if you put to work what you have, watch it gain interest. Watch what you invest increase. And I promise you that when God is ready to deliver the promise that you're waiting for, he is not going to overlook you because you're busy elsewhere in the work of God. He's not going to go, "Oh, no, that guy's leading kids' church. I wanted him to do something." You know, he's not going to do that. When he sees you're active and you're sowing and you're connecting with his purposes and his plans for the church, he is going to be so proud of the investments you've made and the returns that you've seen that he's going to promote you in the most blessed of ways. So the third thing, you all with me tonight? This morning? Oh, I tricked you. You're here tonight. It's this morning. Trick question. I got my friends Kiara and Jai visiting from North Gold Coast. Get around them after service. Tell them to move to Bundaberg. That would be fantastic. Look, at the end of the day, when you have waited patiently and you have placed your trust in God, when you've served and you've remained faithful in even the small things, you need to have your ears attentive and your heart positioned in a way that when God says, "Okay, let's go," you can be ready to go. You need to still be holding on to that promise so that when that promise comes, you recognize it. So the third thing we need to do when it comes to God's timing is be ready to go. When the right time comes along, don't allow yourself to be so comfortable in the wrong place that you refuse to step into the right place. It can get comfortable where you are, but don't ever let that make you forget what God had initially planned and purpose for you. Be ready to go when that opportunity arises. When you pray, God, use me in a bigger way, and then God hands you a ticket for a plane flight to bigger things, don't run away screaming. That's what you had been believing for. God, use me in bigger ways. Great. Go on a mission trip to Africa. Ah! Be prepared. Be ready. This is what you've been waiting for. You've asked for bigger things. Bigger things are being handed to you. Be ready for that. Let me share a beautiful but heartbreaking story of someone navigating the timing of God. It's found in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, was a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel would come down at a certain time into the pool, stir up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever diseases he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. 38. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm still coming and trying to get in, another will step down before me." And Jesus said to him, "You know what? Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Do you know sometimes your right time, right place might not look like everybody else's right time, right place? You might be saying, "I've seen God move like this before. I've seen it navigated like this before. Why, when I'm doing the same thing, is it not happening for me?" It's because the right place and the right time for you is determined by God, not by pattern or historical examples. It's designed specifically for you. He knows what you need. He knows what you need in the time of wait. He knows what you need on the time that you need to receive. And in this situation, this paralyzed man had watched men and women carried into this pool for 38 years. I guarantee you once or twice his patience was tested. But when his right time arrived, it didn't involve a stirred up pool. It didn't involve an angel descending. It didn't even require somebody to do something on his behalf. It took him to be positioned in a place where he could encounter Jesus. He needed to be positioned in his heart to receive what Jesus had to say. And he had to be prepared to act in obedience with the direction he was given. So when Jesus said, "It's go time, roll that mat up, let's get walking." He obediently rolled up that mat in faith and trusting God, stepped up on legs that were once wobbly and weak, and he walked. It's something we see over and over again in the Bible. Men and women that accomplished incredible things for God might have been doing one thing, but when the call of God came, they were ready to abandon and follow in obedience. You look at Elisha. He was plowing a field with 12 oxen, and Elijah said, "Oi, follow me." Elisha jumped off his plow, barbecued the oxen, kissed his mum and dad, and followed Elijah. Andrew and Peter, they were in the middle of lowering down nets. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, "You two, follow me." They abandoned their nets right then and there. Gideon was hiding in a wine press, grinding out grain, milling wheat. And the angel of God said, "Step out of there. Your promise has come. You're no longer going to be doing this. You're going to be leading an army of God." His right place, right time had come, and he had to step out and into what God had for him. Can I get the band to come up? You see, these three aspects of navigating God's timing are very intentional. Through the wait, God wants to do something in us. In the time of preparation, He wants to do something through us. And in that time, when the right time has arrived, He wants to do something for us, releasing us into the promise that He has for you. Whether it's a new calling or whether it's something you've been waiting for in your life, an answer to a prayer, when that time comes and you've proven faithful in the wait and you've proven faithful in that time of preparation, and when that promise comes, he opens it and blesses you with that which you've been believing for. You see, when you're in the right time, when the right time arrives, ensure that you're in the right place. And this is a place of obedience. It's a place of readiness and to be ready with the trust that carried you through the wait. The experience and the growth that got you through the trial, and ready to step out of that boat when Jesus calls you into what He's calling you into. Can I just get everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads this morning? Now, there are some of you here this morning that have prayed prayers for answers, not knowing if anybody was listening, but you've been led here today. You may have felt loneliness and prayed for family. You might have been directionless and prayed for purpose. But today you found yourself here in this house, and I want to tell you that there is a God who has all of this for you, and He's here today to take you into His arms. So this morning I want to take an opportunity, if you are not a follower of Jesus, or maybe once you were but you've turned away from that path you were walking, and I want to give you an opportunity to come home this morning. Chorus. To step into the family of God, where He has promises and purpose in store for you. He has good things He wants to pour out on you and your households. So this morning, if that's you, if you've prayed that prayer for answers, you prayed that prayer for family, you prayed that prayer for purpose, then today is an opportunity for that prayer to be answered. If that's you this morning, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, just lift your hand up in the air and I would love to pray with you this morning. I'm looking across the room. I see that hand. I see that hand in the middle, over the side. Up the front as well. I see the hand up the back. Incredible, over by the wall as well. Hey, this is your first step. This is the start on a path and a journey to the plans and purposes that were always planned for you. There is a God who knew you as He knitted you together in your mother's womb, and He said, oh, I've got something special for you. And that decision you've made today has positioned yourself in a place to step into that. So church, can I have you repeat this prayer after me? Those that raise your hands, say this with all of your heart this morning. Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins and save me from myself. Come into my heart and guide me onto this new path. I want to be a follower of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we put our hands together and celebrate those hands that went up this morning? What an incredible decision. What an incredible start to an incredible story. Guys, up on the screen behind me, we've got a few tips that are going to help you navigate this life well. First, go to the hub. If you want a successful life, Start at Charlene. She's incredible. No, go to the hub. This is a place where you can get connected. We can give you information. We can engage you into the house of God. We can even put a free Bible in your hand and a free coffee as well. There are some good things waiting for you at the hub. So make sure you visit that. If the hub's too scary a prospect by yourself, tap the person next to you. There's a friend that came with you here today. Say, hey, can you please come over with me to the hub? And when you get there, you're going to meet the amazing Pastor John and Pastor Charmaine, who are the two most incredible people on the planet. And they want to hear your story and they want to be a part of your story. So head over to the hub. Does that sound good? Yep. Hub. Keep coming to church. There are people everywhere that have navigated a life similar to what you've navigated, and they want to help you navigate yours. They want to cheer you on when you're having success, and they want to lift you up when you're feeling weary. So you want to find yourself in this place. And the third, scan a QR code. There's QR codes on the back of your chairs there. If you scan them with your mobile device, that will take you through to a place where you can sign up to connect groups or serve teams or all sorts of ways to get connected in the house. So make the most of that. That would be fantastic. You know what? Do we have time? We've got time. You know what? If there are those of you in the congregation this morning that are finding yourselves in that time of wait, just because we're facing a time of wait, God doesn't say he's going to leave you alone in that time of wait. So we're going to open up the altar here. And if you want to come up, if you want to come up and receive some prayer, we'd love to pray over you and with you. The rest of the church are going to stand up and worship God. So come on, let's stand to our feet. If you want to come up, if you're in a season of wait and you want to see that breakthrough in that moment, come to the front. Our pastors and our ministry team will come and pray with you this morning. Thanks, guys. Let's just sing that song. Thank you.
Not by fight, by the Spirit of the Living, Spirit of the Living God. My fortress, my refuge, still a strong tower, still a strong tower. My help, defender, still a strong tower, still a strong tower. Someone let the people know anything is possible. No weapon will prosper, still a strong tower. Sing my fortress, my refuge, still a strong tower, still a strong tower. My helper, defender, still a strong tower, still a strong tower. Oh, the devil don't tell him that he's gotta go nowhere.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him a big hand this morning. Celebrate our God this morning. So what are we gonna do, folks? We gotta wait patiently, be prepared and productive, and be ready to go. Does that sound good? Hopefully you've had a fantastic morning. I know I have. We've had an incredible time in the house. Hey, if you put your hand up this morning, don't forget to go see Pastor John, Pastor Charmaine over at the hub. Take a friend with you. Hey, Carmel, could we sing a praise song and go out with a bit of a party? How good's Carmel and the team been this morning? All right, let's have a bit of a party. We'll catch you out the back. Grab a coffee, head out the side, and have a good time of fellowship this morning. Hey, we'll see you Monday for prayer meeting.
Another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one.